This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. Rings End is red. The art of the long ball is not dead. A Jarvis Brace leaves the Reds ahead in the title chase. Cork hit for five when the girls hit their stride. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a bumpy, bumpy ride. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Duty. My God, you're getting better and better than me.
Well, I got a bit of stick for not having one ready the last time, so I had to put at least 5 minutes worth of effort in.
Dude, we'll make it a club poet and then we'll end up looking like the team up the road.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get to that mob up the road. Don't worry, that will come. How are you, Ben?
I'm good. I've missed you a lot. It's been a while.
Has it?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In the interest of honesty, I missed both games. We were just talking off air there. Possibly two of the best moments we'll have this season. Well, until we lift the big one, of course.
Oh, certainly.
I missed Pats on Monday, and I also missed Rovers on Friday because I was not well and was worse after missing out on the fun and games, I can tell you. But Ben, how did you enjoy Friday?
Yeah, it was just immense. Like, the atmosphere from the away end was just incredibly, even the buzz around the place. Like, I've never been as confident going into Tallaght Stadium, which is really weird. Because it's not a place you go with a lot of confidence.
No, it certainly isn't. Although, the last thing I said here on the podcast last week was that it was a title decider. That was obviously tongue-in-cheek, so calm yourselves down. Don't worry, don't panic. But the million-dollar question, Ben, are we at least now considered to be part of the group that is possibly competing to win the title this year?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, you have to say that we need to be considered, especially considering we are top of the table. I suppose you can never really write off Rovers. I think they've come back from, like, was it 11 points behind at one stage or 9 or something mad like that. Like, it's still very early. I'd say, like, Rovers would be up there if they get their injuries in line. Derry in with a shout, and I think ourselves, I think it's a three-horse race, but we're leading it. I think that's the way I'd look at it.
And, yeah, I know a lot of people drawing comparisons to Shelbyville last year by saying, you know, oh, they all thought they were in a title race. Look where they ended up finishing. To very least, I would probably expect at this stage of the season is to, at the very least, qualify automatically for Europe. So, i.e. finish in the top three. I think anything less than that would be a disappointment at this stage. But, look, going back to Friday, a great result. Obviously, when the starting 11 came out, there was no body. What did you make it at? You're obviously in the ground when the team news comes out. What was the general consensus?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of shock there from everyone just because, obviously, the good run of form, you'd expect him to be in there. But I think when you look at the game plan, obviously, last week when we talked, I said Matty Smith to be one for me that I couldn't drop. And I thought he was brilliant. I thought he executed. As you said, the long ball is not dead. I think he was instrumental in executing that, and I think that's the difference between himself and maybe a Boydie up front.
The manager alluded, it was during last week, I think, somewhere anyway, he spoke about Boydie and, like, at the end of the day, Boydie's coming back from a couple of, like, huge injuries, like major, serious injuries. Do you think Friday's decision to leave him out was a tactical one or a kind of managing Boydie's body type decision?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think if you look at the tactics, the likes of a Matty Smith or a Will Jarvis would probably be suited better to how he did attack in some parts of the game. But also, you do have the manager's body. It's a physical game. Like, you could see that with Rovers players going off injured, making tackles. It was very physical. And I think, look, you do have to manage the minutes. Like, we are coming into a tough run of games, especially with July. Like, it's the games are only getting bigger. They're only getting harder. So you do have to look at, you know, your squad and do what's best for the squad, I suppose.
Berth obviously missed out. Obviously, he's on loan, so had to miss the game. JJ got his place back in the team. That was probably you probably couldn't say it was a nailed-on decision, but that tree of Coyle, Lunny, and Evan Caffrey kind of ticks all the boxes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it gives you a little bit of everything. Like, it's kind of like a three-headed dragon kind of thing, where it's you'll have someone that's just box-to-box like Coyle or with unbelievable energy and drive. Evan Caffrey seems to waltz his way out of tough positions. I don't know how he manages it. He just takes a turn. You think he's going to turn into trouble, and he's picked out a pass. And look, JJ, when he's sitting deep and he's picking out passes, there's no one better in the league for me.
Look, the first goal, the penalty, obviously. Look, we'll get to Jarvis shortly, but again, the manager spoke about, and he seemed really pissed off after the game on Friday, that, like, you know, everyone labels us this way of, you know, we have this way of playing, and, you know, Duffer Park in the bus, and, like, we're not good to watch, and all this shite that people come out with. It probably doesn't get more simple, and I genuinely think it's why it worked so well. You can't get more simple than the goalkeeper, who, to be fair, were both perfect passes, perfect weight, everything on them. Straight through for Matty. It was Matty Smith both times, wasn't it? For both penalties. Is it going full circle now, where what used to be the norm back in the day, like, this Shells team seems to be bringing it back to the norm. Like, we've played 4-4-2 at times. We're not afraid to go direct. Like, the whole thing seems to be built on a work ethic. Like, am I a million miles off from that? Like, you can't get more simple and straightforward than the goalkeeper playing a long ball to your striker who gets fouled, and then we score the penalty.
No, but I think you are right. It is kind of maybe a little bit of a back to basics sometimes. But we do manage games. Like, it's not like we'll go out there and get battered in possession every game. There is a good mix. And I think maybe what's simple is effective, and you could see that it was effective. I think there's almost a bit of a snobby response to it nowadays. Like, anyone that plays that way, it's like they're anti-football. It's just a weird perception, I think, considering how far football has come.
Was it the perfect game plan? Was it executed perfectly? Was it, look, we're going to set up this way, we'll let Rovers have the ball, no problem. We didn't let them have it in areas where they were going to hurt us. There was a couple of times early on, like within the first 10 minutes, Neil Ferrugia kind of picked up little positions in that kind of pocket. Looked a bit dangerous, but we got to grips with that very, very quickly. Did the game plan just come off perfectly? Did it feel like that in the ground? Because that's the way it felt watching it on the telly.
Yeah, 100%. I think it definitely felt like if we were surviving those first 10 minutes, they weren't going to score. Just because they kind of threw the kitchen sink in the first 10 minutes. And look, there was a few ropey minutes, I suppose. There was a few ropey things where I think they hit the bar, maybe hit the post. Like, there was an early onslaught, but once we survived that, I think we managed the game. We could see it out. There was a real calmness in the crowd, which is very weird for maybe a Dublin derby, especially one away in Tala, like the champions. It's weird to have that kind of sense of, we'll be grand here.
Well, I'll keep beating the drum, Ben, of Waterford away in the Cup semi-final. Dispel that whole, something's going to go wrong. Because In that game, since that game, you could tell me for every single game for the rest of the season, you'll be 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go. And I'll be very, very, very confident that we'll win those games. Because we just, there's this composure. And I know, look, we harped on about Paddy Barrett and Gavin Molloy at the start of the season. I joked on here about would we ever concede and all that type of stuff, but they were brilliant on Friday. So, so good. They're just so calm. They don't snatch at anything. They don't panic. it's calm with an urgency. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they don't sit on things. It's everything is done quickly, but it's done with the composure to set yourself up and not leave yourself open. I think with the two of those lads, like, a big defensive play is almost worth as much as a goal for them. Like, they just love defending. When you look at them, they're absolutely delighted. And as you said, look, it's very easy to look at 10 minutes in a game and say, I think we'll be grand here. Just because you know how well drilled they are. Everyone knows what they should be doing, where they should be. And the communication in the back line is a big thing. They're always talking to each other. Dude, you know this from home games as well, from where we stand at the tunnel. Like, you can hear everything if we're down that end. And it's just constant communication.
Yeah, and it's always so simple. I think that's what I enjoy about it. Like, some managers you listen to in the dugout and they're shouting mad stuff. Stephen O'Donnell is just one that comes to mind when he was with Dundalk, like, shouting mad stuff. But, like, I know Duffer gets a bit of stick, you know, for being animated in the dugout, which he has been nowhere near the levels he was in his first year. But it always makes sense. Like, when he says it, if it makes sense to me and it makes sense to you, it's going to make sense to elite level footballers. So, like, we're just so well drilled. To play devil's advocate a little bit, were we a little bit lucky on Friday? Just with the way the game panned out, what was it, 3 substitutions in the first half for Rovers, true injuries, big enough players as well, like Dan Cleary, Josh Honahan and Trevor Clark would be considered important players for Rovers. Was there a little bit of luck involved?
I don't know if you could say this. Like, that's football. If it was the other way around, I'd say the same. Like, if we had the same injuries and we go out and we're unlucky with the result, you get injuries sometimes. That's why it's a squad game and not an 11 on the pitch. And I think if you look at even the squad, they didn't seem happy with the win because Rovers went down so many bodies, which is a bit weird. Like, I think in the Will Jarvis interview, he said, like, they talk about players going off, and it was almost like he wanted a better challenge, a bigger challenge.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It's probably a testament to the mentality that the squad have, that he was like, look, bring on more. But it is a squad game. If you're relying on the 11 on the pitch, it's going to be very hard to pick up points. So I think you can't look at that on a Rovers perspective and say, oh no, they were a lesser team, because again, you should have them players on the bench ready to come in and do the role that they're required.
Like, I think if you're a Rovers fan, you'd put an asterisk beside this one, because you would lean on the whole, we've 3 subs in the first half, down to 10 men, all that type of stuff. But from Michelle's point of view, it was professional, dealt with it well. But again, these kind of standards the manager talks about, and aiming towards something specific, we did probably end the game under a bit more pressure than what you would have liked.
Yeah, I think
it still felt comfortable, though, didn't it?
It did. Like, I never felt at any stage they're gonna do something tangible and mount a comeback. I thought, yeah, they're controlling possession a little bit, but when you see how comfortable these lads are defending, that didn't really worry me. Like, I wasn't at a point where I was like, oh no, we're in trouble here. Like, they're a man down, let them have the ball for a little bit. Like, they're not getting it in effective areas, they're not moving it quick enough. They're not really going to mount a massive challenge, I thought, anyway.
Yeah, it came across like that, but again, I'm sure, like, the staff are looking at different things that we're looking at, but I see what the manager is saying about, you know, they did kind of dominate the ball, and he talked Rovers up an awful lot, which is interesting. I do still think they would be the favourites to win it, even at this point. They're just the depth they have, and look, they know how to win.
Yeah, like, squad they have, 4 in a row. Like, there's so much you can say about them. They are winners. Like, it's very hard not to look at them as something serious. I think, like, look, they did, even with 10 men, they did move the ball quite well, but I just didn't think they could create a big chance, but you just see how dangerous they are with, I suppose, the lesser bodies.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Duffer, again, going down the it's us against the world road. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I love it. It's absolutely amazing. Genuinely, the under siege mentality of it, it's us versus them and everyone else. Yeah, hammer it home. That is what it should be, because I think he hit the nail on the head perfectly when he said there's fans of other clubs that hate us more than they love their own club.
Yeah, that annoyed a lot of people.
But it's true. Like, if you look on Twitter or anything after a game, if both lose or Pats lose and we win, they're quote tweeting the manager's interview. They like, it's never about their own club. It's, oh, look what Chelsea are doing.
100%. And I talked about this early in the season as well, around ticketing and ticketing for away fans and stuff like that. And I probably went a bit heavy on it at the time. But my thing is, everyone hates this club anyway. Like, there's not many neutrals that would say, oh, I don't mind Shells. Like, a lot of people seem to have a bit of a soft spot for Bowes at the moment because of all the stuff they do off the pitch, and that's fine. And people have a soft spot for Rovers because, oh, they're serial winners and four in a row and blah, 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 blah. I don't think anyone really thinks about Pats. But, like, I've never heard somebody say, ah, oh, yeah, I don't really mind Shells. So why not lean on it? Fuck it, like, we've one of the most... I wouldn't call him abrasive. That's probably a bit harsh, but...
Polarising.
There's a teacher in you, Ben. Fair play to you. But I think that's why it works so well with him here, because, like, I think the hand was made for this glove. It's like, yeah, like, it's just a good fit. He seems to get it. He doesn't mind being hated. Like, there's managers we've had before, kind of, not the nice guy act, but, like, when you think back, the likes of Kev Doherty, Morrow, like, they were nice fellas, not very close to the bone. Wouldn't really say anything out of the ordinary because they just want to concentrate on the football, which is fine, but Duffer just doesn't give a shit. And I love it. And it's pure passion from him, and everyone will bash him and say, oh, yeah, he loves it, and look at him coming out with the sound bites. Like, he only speaks in those interviews because he has to. Like, it's part of an agreement. You can't just not do a post-match interview. So if he had his way, he wouldn't talk to anybody.
No.
So I just think he's the perfect fit. Us against the world, absolutely. Yeah. Nail it to my face, those words, because it's the truth. And the more we lean on it, I think the more successful we'll be.
Then, dude, if we win the league, get a tattooed on you.
You know what, Ben? There will be some kind of Shells tattoo if we win the league. The problem is, you can't, like, get the year or something, because if we go on to win 20-odd league titles in my lifetime, my leg will end up looking like the Bible or something. So, I'll do something. I'll get some kind of tattoo if we win the league. No doubt about that.
Right. As long as we have evidence of that, I'm happy enough.
In terms of performances, Ben, individual performances, anyone in particular stick out for you?
The obvious one is Will Jarvis, but Mark Coyle every week. Like, he just gets it. Like, he is everything a player for this club should be. The passion he plays with, everything, it's just, like... Oh, it's amazing. And the player that the manager and the staff have turned him into, like, from when he first came, it's chalk and cheese. It's just, he's incredible. For me, really, really good.
He's fast going down that Luke Byrne road, isn't he? Of, you don't even, like, have to mention him, because it's just, you know you're going to get it. So,
yeah,
it's just be expected. It's that same kind of Pearl thing where probably doesn't get the credit that they deserve just because that's the standard they set for themselves. But one for me, and again, I've mentioned him a few times this year, probably not had as much football as he would like to have, but John O'Sullivan, again, he seems to be getting looked at now as a big game player.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. Like, he's just he got the ball head down and he was just driving at players. Like, something I think very unique is the squad's ability to just start driving at people. Like, Will Jarvis does it, Liam Bartle do it. John O'Sullivan just came in and he just went straight at them, and he outpaced a lot of players. I think he surprised a lot of people with how good he was.
He did. And I say it was like prime Damien Duff, obviously on the opposite side. That one particular run he went on, he cut one back to, I think it was Jarvis, kind of on the edge of the box. We were unlucky not to score from. But I will never for the life of me, Ben, be able to understand what they did to him up the road. How can you, in the space of a pre-season, transform a player like that?
It's just, it's very weird. I'd say it probably says a lot about the setup they had and the environment he was in, because he's just completely opposite to what I think a lot of people thought when he came in. Like, you have to remember, that signing was not well received. And it was almost like a chance for those lot up the road to have a laugh at us. But when you look at the players become, there's only one side laughing now.
There is, and I said there, like, the way the staff have, you know, turned them, like, what the work they've done to, within the, you know, the stage of one pre-season, turning them into the players become. Fair play to him. Yeah. Because ultimately he's the one that, whatever, it was a mindset change or he just bought into what was happening here. But fair play to him, because he's it maybe a bit extreme to say he's got his career back on track, but like, he could have easily fallen out of balls and, you know, ended up, it's no disrespect to the lads that do it, but ended up playing in like the Leinster Senior League or something like that, just to keep playing a bit of ball. But he's become an important member of the squad. And as I say, he's maybe not a nailed on starter every week, but he seems to be becoming one of those trusted kind of big game players. And
you know, you're going to get something when he's called on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I cannot unsee it, and especially on really early in the game on Friday, a ball went out over the touchline and it was rolling towards Stephen Bradley, and Bradley just kind of stood over it and let it roll away, which is fair enough. Most managers would do it. And John O'Sullivan said something to him, and they kind of had, they didn't have variables, but they kind of, bit of a stare down. They're the bleeding image of each other. I remember when I did his post-match interview after the first game down in Waterford, and I was standing there looking at him talking, and like, I don't know whether you're guilty of this as well, Ben, but you kind of zone out sometimes when they're answering you, because you're kind of thinking of, right, what am I going to ask next?
One more question, yeah.
And I was looking at him going, this is actually like interviewing Stephen Bradley. I don't know what it is. He talks like him, or I don't know, but I mean, they could pass for brothers. They definitely could. Just on that, Conor Kearns, Gab Malloy, Will Jarvis, Mark Coyle, all in the team of the week. Deservedly so. You probably could have had a couple of more in there. And of course, Duffer, the manager of the week. How many people do you think that pissed off?
It pissed off all the right people, which is why it's important. Because no, it's just, it comes from jealousy, I'd imagine, because all your, like, realistically, most of the managers in the league are boring. No one really cares what they have to say. They don't really say a whole lot that's going to capture attention. Yeah, I'd be jealous too.
So would I. Jesus, so would I. Imagine Keith Long being your manager. Like, just, very uninspiring. So, yeah, like, it was a massive win. Easy to kind of run away with it. Interesting to see the manager kind of playing it down. I think the crowd wanted him to give it the big one, and he played it down. I wondered watching it, is that because now he does actually think, we could do this?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to kind of understand, but I think from a selfish perspective, I was hoping for something big. You know, I was on the pitch ready to get the big moment. Wasn't to be. He's gone with the more muted celebration, but I think that's just, it's a mentality thing for this squad. It's in, maybe look, for fans, for us, it is a big win, but for them, it's kind of, we'll have to just park this and move on now. Like, it's something the manager talked about in his post match, and he says it every week, is about parking the result and moving on.
And move on, we will. 6 points clear of Derry, Ben. 9 clear of Rovers. Going into what is a huge, huge weekend. It's obviously fixtures Friday and Monday. Like, Derry have a tricky game. They're away to Dundalk. Obviously, John Daly only gone in there. They'll be organised. Like we've seen, they were hard to beat. And that was without a manager. So, imagine them now with a, not only with a manager, but quite a pragmatic, kind of organised type manager. Not beyond the realms of possibility that Derry drop points way to Dundalk. Rovers, again, tough game on Friday. They're away to Drogheda. And we obviously entertain Sligo. Could be a massive, massive Friday, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely one you're going to bounce into and hopefully pick up the 3 points. I think that, as you said, is a very, very tricky fixture for Derry, because you just, Dundalk are weird when you never know what kind of game you're going to get from them. Like, when we drew out there, it was tricky. Like, it was a hard game. They really put it to us. And as you said, that was with minimal management.
Look, all that, the other results, I'm probably getting ahead of myself looking at other teams and how they're getting on. In terms of our game, we're home to Sligo. On paper, probably a game you'd say, yeah, that's a winnable one. But
especially in they have one win in their last five, Sligo.
Yeah.
Your losses. Could be wrong, but I think that's how they're.
Yeah, and we haven't exactly set the world alight at home in terms of scoring and kind of putting on a show, if you like. But having said that, I've seen a stat there. Derry obviously played Sligo last Friday. It was a 2-2 draw. But Sligo gave up the most shots on goal that any team have given up in the league this year, 24. So that is an awful lot of chances to give up. And you would think players like Burt, Jarvis, Boyd, Smith, John Martin, any of those attacking players would be hoping to gobble up those kind of chances, really, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think it'll be a big game. I think it could be, as you said, they did cough up a lot of chances. I think it could be a high scoring one. I think we could see, I'm hoping for 3 or 4. You would be hopeful. The goal difference favour anyway.
The only thing I'd be worried about, Ben, is Sligo gave up possession against Derry. They just dropped off and said, right, come and break us down if you can. We don't tend to do brilliantly well against that. We seem to be better in a more kind of, if we maybe hit teams on the counter or find a bit of space in a game, we seem to be better. Is this a bit of a litmus test for the group, do you think? Like, these are the ones, and I said at the start of the year, these are the smelly ones that you look back on at the end, whether it's Europe you lose out on or a title you lose out on, and you go, oh, fuck's sake, that game at home to Sligo, where we had 75% possession and just couldn't put it in the net. Is this one a bit of a litmus test for the group?
Yeah, I think you can look at it that way, definitely. But also, I think it's one of those where you get one, the floodgates will open. Like, the first goal is going to be very important. I think if we do get one and get it early, they're not going to sit back. And then we can kind of play our game. I think we're very good in possession. But again, it's one of those, as you said, kind of smelly games where when people, even this season, have looked and criticised our games, it has been against the perceived lesser sides or the lower down the league table sides. Like, Galway frustrated us. Drogheda, like, there's a lot of frustrating games this season anyway where maybe we haven't been at our best, and I think it has been against those kind of sides. So look, I think they will sit off. I think we'll have a lot of possession. I think we're going to be well able to break them down. I think we move the ball really well. We have that bit of form behind us, so I think it is going to be good energy as well.
Something I wouldn't be concerned about, but I was looking it up there. In terms of at home, only Sligo, Dundalk and Galway have scored less goals at home than we have this year. So, it feels like I don't know whether there's a bit of nerviness maybe at home or what it is, but I'd like to see us open up and be a little bit, not gung-ho, but a little bit more, let's really just go out of here. Because I don't think there's a team in the league that will live with it. The likes of Jarvis, Burt, whether it be Boyd, Matty Smith, whoever it might be, I just don't think Sligo will live with us, and I'd love us to try and put them to the sword. After that then, I'm always guilty of forgetting about the Monday night games in the podcast before. Bowls away on Bank Holiday Monday. 5:15 kickoff. It's live on Virgin, I believe. The first thing I would like to say is, for the first time in what seems like forever, it was a relatively painless experience for people getting tickets by the looks of it. Some people obviously left disappointed. Look, do the numbers, 450 tickets into whatever amount of season ticket holders doesn't go. So I suppose commiserations for anyone that missed out, but the process certainly seemed to be a lot smoother than before, didn't it?
Yeah, I think just like when you go online after a ticket release, and usually it's met with a lot of backlash, and there's a mistake, something's been released early, codes have been sent around, and it just generally, for the most part, has been sloppy enough. But look, the club have come out, they've said, we're going to be better, we're going to look to do it better, and by all accounts, it has gone a whole lot better.
What's the result going to be on Monday, Ben?
Monday is a win. It'll be 2-0.
All this predictions business, it's a killer, isn't it, really? Because nobody cares if you get the prediction right, but no. People will say, oh, you thought you were going to do this, that, or the other. So I do think we'll win the game. I do think a 6-pointer this weekend, and I think something special is happening. I really do. Speaking of special, go on, Ben, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, there's no game winners for me, Bowles. They're just very average.
I just worry that they're patchy, and will they come up with a big performance against us? Even if they do.
As well, they're overly reliant on set pieces in some regards. They get a lot of sloppy goals.
The smelly goals, as I like to call them. But before you ruined my brilliant segue, Ben.
Sorry, dude.
Speaking of special, Owen Whelan's team put Cork to the sword, 5-1 on Saturday. It felt like that's been coming, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. That is kind of what, I don't want to say what you'd expect from this side, but it is really, it's what I've come to expect from them. They're a big team. They have a lot of big game players, and it's just one of those where that fixture, as you know, when we spoke to Pearl, she did kind of earmark them as they could be a bit dodgy, so you never know what you're going to get. But I think to go out and really put a lot of cold past them, it has been coming. And I think, again, we've said it every week, they're just going to kick on and keep kicking on. And I think it's a bit of a steam train starting now.
It feels like that. It feels like there's momentum gathering. Of course, international break now, so hopefully that bit of momentum doesn't get stunted too much. But for me, the most pleasing thing about it was, obviously, firstly, how comprehensive it was. 5-1 at home, that's what you want to see. The bigger thing for me was the different types of goals we scored. It was a bit of everything there. Rebecca Devereaux nets a brace just through pure hard work. Pure hard work, pure hassling, harrying, forcing mistakes, and gets the rewards at the end.
First, someone so young to be so accomplished at pressing and kind of doing the nitty gritty work, it's incredible.
And one moment of the game that I feel like went a little bit under the radar, just because of obviously the result, and I think Rebecca Devereaux will just automatically take some of the plaudits because of her age and the scoring kind of form she's on. But Noelle Murray obviously scored her 101st goal. But her pass for, now it was an amazing finish as well from Ava O'Mahony, who's been brilliant. But Noelle Murray's pass for that goal was incredible. It was just incredible. She is just playing at a different level to anything I've seen in the league. That's just my opinion, but
she's almost matched her own standards. Like, if you, like, for herself and the team and everyone within the club, you just know how good she is, how polished she is. And it's almost like she's been twice as good, which is inconceivable to most people, but she's just been, everything she touches is turned to gold. She's playing so well. Like, it's just, it's hard to put into words how good she's been and how important she's been for the side.
Absolutely. And look, obviously the blot in the copybook is the goal. We can see it. I think, was it Keira Keenan went to play a ball back to Pearl, kind of misjudged the pass and left them through. That's going to happen when you're trying to play that kind of style. You're going to try to play that way. And Owen was obviously trying to implement, like, you're still in the stage of implementing stuff at this part of the season. So stuff like that will happen. Probably good it happens in a game like that where you kind of have five goals to spare, but it came at an important time, that goal. Like you, the group could have panicked a little bit and not come away with the result they did, but so important. Huge result. They are the ones, and I am adamant to this, that you will look back on at the end of the season and go, oh, jeez, that Cork game at home. So it leaves us within a point of Galway, who have played one game less, so they have a game in hand still. I don't know why, but I just feel the Galway will fall away. I don't know why. We played them on the 5th, I think it's the 15th of June, we play Galway at home, so that's going to be a massive game. But as I say, there is a break now for the girls, so it feels like it could be coming at a bit of a bogey time, but look, hopefully they just pick up where they left off. The evergreen Pearl Slattery, Ben, in the team of the week and nominated for player of the month. When will it end?
I don't think it will. She's kind of raised, again, similar to Noelle, raised her game to another level this season. Like, she's almost, like, you look at that squad, you have a lot of incredible young players coming up, and she's just a consistent every week. Like, for that to be her captain, that is the, like, picture perfect role model for any player, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've said this so many times, can't have a better role model. I don't think it's possible. But I think now, with this influx of kind of young players in the league overall, and obviously in Red in particular, in this case, the likes of your, like, Pearl, Alex Kavanagh, Noel, Jess Gargan, Rachel Graham, they are just so, so important for, like, the likes of Rachel, obviously been injured, hasn't played probably as much as she'd like, but I wouldn't underestimate the effect that she has on those young players. And, like, when we spoke to Pearl, she said she loved all the young players being around, because it keeps you young and it kind of, like, their energy feeds into the group. And we earmarked this at the start of the season. It seems like a great mix. So long may it continue, as we say. The bit of momentum is there, so hopefully can stay on top of it. We mentioned there Pearl going into the team of the week, nominated for player of the month. Ava O'Mahony, Rebecca Devereaux, and Alex Kavanagh all got into the team of the week as well. So a very Reds heavy team of the week series this week, but well deserved. Ben, before we get to our listener questions, let's do the Richie rankings.
Right.
Let's do them now while they're fresh in my brain and I don't forget. You can go first.
Richie Baker. I think I'm going to give it to Will Jarvis. I think you have to, for the week he's had. He's just been so, so good. I think a lot of people, especially recently, maybe questioned his levels. He was a little bit off it, but looks like he's put that behind him. He spoke really well after the game. And I think one thing he said that really stuck out was, there's no one else I'd rather go to war with than them lads in that changing room there. So That was a big one for me. If you're talking about sound bites, that's a great one. So definitely him. Do you want to give me Richie Baker?
Yes. So my Richie Baker, I have an honourable mention in here, and it's Luke Byrne, because it was just great to see him in a dugout again.
Yeah.
Obviously, would have rather not have the suspension there, but of all the people to step into it, it was great to see Luke. So he's an honourable mention for my Richie Baker, but I'm splitting the award down the middle, and I'm giving it to Keith McDerby and Pierce Butler for the event that took place on Wednesday last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The event in the Mansion House, it was a fundraiser for the club, basically, but the two lads put in serious work to organise it. It went off nearly without a hitch, but nothing, no hitch that anyone would know something went wrong. So
yeah, we managed everything, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. And again, thanks to Brian McGovern for boxing us off, being able to go. And yeah, fair play to Keith and Pierce. Done a great job. Nobody wanted for anything. Now, Ben, on to the... Also, actually, McDerby. I slagged his tie on here a while back. It seemed to go well. But I got a text off the very same Keith McDerby the other night. I think it might have been Sunday, because I remember when I seen his name pop up, my WhatsApp went, what is he texting me for on a Sunday? It was Sunday. 7:30 on Sunday evening, to be precise. And he texted me and said, we go again with two of the sloppiest ties, Ben, you'll ever see in your life.
Oh, no. Dodgy clobber, I've said it.
Yeah, it was pretty dodgy. I replied to him and just said, it's like nursing home carpet. So, sorry, Keith, but...
God, what a shout.
You're a young man. Dressing like that, don't know, dodgy tie. But he pulls it off, to be fair. Ben, you're Richie Winters.
Stephen Bradley.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I was looking at some stuff he said after the game, and I was just complete and utter bollocks, in my opinion. Pardon.
Tell us how you really feel, Ben, will you?
Like, I think he was talking about the setup, and he was unhappy they're undone by a pretty simple setup, and he didn't view it as a tactical masterclass and all this long ball stuff. Well, let me tell you, if it happens to you twice, which it did happen when we played Rovers at home, Conor Kearns long ball to Will Jarvis, then I'm pretty sure it's a tactical decision to have him kick those balls. Now, look, I don't have any fancy pro license or any of that stuff, but I think that constitutes tactics. So look, I think it's complete waffle what he's come out and said that the long ball wasn't a tactic. You were undone twice at home, once away, that's a tactic.
You said waffling there, Ben. All I can think of is the Bertie Ahern video. If you would stop waffling, you would get something done around there. The club account should have tweeted that to him. But speaking of the club account, Ben, I don't know who takes the blame on this one, but somebody misquoted a very, very easy song to quote off the Shell's Instagram page. Now, I don't know who it was, but making a mess of the Will Jarvis song, in my opinion, is sloppy. Sloppy at best.
But, dude, are you having the Stephen Bradley criticism? Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. All day long. All day long. That's trying to, you know, create a bit of fog. Let's not talk about the fact we got beaten 2-0. Like, let's turn it away from our shit performance and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm fully, totally on board.
I just remember reading it and it was like, oh, no, we weren't outdone by anything tactically. You got beaten by a ball over the top twice because you played too high of a line. You did the same thing in Talca. That resulted in a goal. That is a tactic. It's really bothered me. It's been sitting with me since then. And it's kind of just been building, bubbling up to get it out.
Oh, well, then, do you feel better now?
I do, actually.
Good, good.
I do.
So, whichever one of you is two and you know who you are was logged into the Instagram account at that moment, it's Will Jarvis is the best on earth. So just so we're all straight and on the same page. Ben, listener questions this week. A lot of statements. An awful lot of statements again. And I suppose you just call them comments. Let me just pull them up here. Tygo Tull said, in Duffer we trust. Hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Dave Red, always believe. Dylan Doyle, I've decided that we're winning the league. Nice of you to decide that, Dylan. The Wizzy Wizard. I believe we have a chance, but I believe we could also finish third or fourth. It's kind of covering all bases there, fairness.
We could finish between first and maybe the last position.
Between first and last. ODSFC said, you've always got to believe. There's a lot of hurdles in the way, but I believe we can give it a good shot. A certain FAI employee told me to F off for my talk of Shells winning the league. Connor Lacka, more than halfway through the league and clear at the top. We're certainly in contention. Luke Byrne 07, not that Luke Byrne, a different Luke Byrne, said, it's the hope that kills you.
I mean, that's like your favourite quote, that and referee bashing.
Yes. Kevin Faye said, it's no longer casual Fridays, it's Will Jarvis Fridays. I presume that's aimed towards his penalty-taking ability, which we completely brushed over, but two, especially the second one, unbelievable penal.
Yeah, it really was. Like, again, talking to him after the game, I was like, oh, did the keeper ever get in your head? The fans waved, like, no, I just took the penalty.
Interviewing Will Jarvis is an experience, isn't it?
It's great. He said some great things. He was actually like really good to speak to after the game. He was really happy with it. And I know it probably didn't seem that way, but I'd say it's very difficult after the performance he put in to have any kind of energy for an interview. But he was brilliant. He said a lot of great stuff. He talked about just having the confidence as a player. And he was like, did the whole Roy Keane thing. He was like, it's my job.
Look, he's a special player. I really do think he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given it the old beating the chest and beating the crest after scoring, I know that goes one way or the other for people, but you never know. Liam Byrne said, after Friday, I definitely believe 9 wins, 5 draws and 3 losses will get us just about over the line. You haven't really looked into it much, Liam, have you? Jeez. Adam Fahey said Will Jarvis is the best on earth. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Jack Morris, if Derry and Rovers drop points over the bank holiday and we don't, I'd really start to believe. Think a lot of people would, to be fair.
I think that's the kind of big test, isn't it?
Yeah. There was one more statement before we get to the actual questions, because that's quickly becoming a statement box more than anything else. Sorry, Jordan O'Reilly actually as well. He said, what a night. And singled out John O'Sullivan again for praise, which he's right to do. We beat that John O'Sullivan drum. He's been brilliant. Totally not what I was expecting him to be. And I mean that in the best way possible. Where are we? Where was this particularly nice message? Yes, here we go. And Ben, I didn't tell you about this one, but it's from Dave Murray, and he said, more a comment than a question. The post-match social media content has been absolutely top class all season, from the brilliant interviews after the game to all the fan footage recorded. I understand it must be a huge sacrifice for yourselves having to almost miss some of these moments of ecstasy to capture them. Well done to everyone involved. Ben, that's particularly for yourself and Sean, who obviously captured the post-match video footage. Darren obviously does as well. I'm not one for giving out self-praise, but this has singled out yous, so I will read it out. Everything Dave says is accurate. It's been brilliant. You cannot beat those videos of just, especially Friday, just the sheer joy on the players, the crowd. It's brilliant stuff, so keep it up. Keep it up, is what I would say. Nice to be getting compliments rather than ridiculed. Always a positive in the world of Shelburne. Now, the questions, the good bits, Ben, the fun bits, the bits where we can be caught out with our spoof and crazy opinions. Maggot 1967 actually asked, when is Stato Kev going on Mastermind? Get him on. We were due to have a Mastermind this week, but he pulled out at the last second. He bottled it. And you know who you are. You know who you are. I will shame you at the end of it. But that's why there is no Mastermind this week. Again, get in touch if you want to be on. Few people, you know, playing the room a bit, being, yeah, I'll be on. Yeah, I'll do it. Maybe in a couple of weeks. The time is nigh. Get it done. Get yourselves on. Try and dethrone Ado. 18 out of 20. Top scorer at the moment. Signed jersey going his way. So let's knock him off his perch, as the saying goes. Big T. Don't really know how to take that name. But anyway, you can sign two types of players when the window opens. What are you choosing? And then I was kind of looking, going, what does he mean? And then he clarified soon after, and he said, e.g. a creative centre midfielder and another striker. So that's what he'd go for, creative centre midfield player and a striker. Ben, if we could have two things in the summer transfer window, what would you have?
Yeah, I'd probably echo the creative midfielder, just to have the extra body in midfield. I think Evan Caffrey's really come into that role in recent weeks. I think he's done well at kind of going forward and pushing the game forward. But I think having another one of them would be good. Probably another fullback in, I think, probably on the right side, preferably. I think, look, Gano has been absolutely incredible. But when you look at cover there, if he's out, it's usually Tariq that fills in on that side, and Cam will play the other side.
As we say, Ben, the notoriously right-footed Tariq Wilson, or the notoriously left-footed Tariq Wilson playing on the right side, always hurts my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think, look, ideally you'd prefer him on his favourite side, so maybe that little bit of extra cover. I know Shane Farrell has played there as part of a back five, but if we do switch into the back four, I don't know how well he'd set up defensively, maybe. So I think there would probably be somewhere I'd be looking at.
Just on the creative midfielder one, do we have one there and he just isn't getting a look in and Keith Ward?
Yeah, that could be a shout. Maybe you can also look at Jad as well, coming back from injury. Like, he can offer a lot of that. Look, maybe there's opportunity in the squad and there's a chance there to be taken, and we do have what we need. But I think when most people think of a creative midfielder, there's only one man they really think of.
Well, oh, God, I can't allow myself to hope, Ben. I can't.
It's the hope that kills you.
It is the hope that kills you. Just for a few people have said in the last couple of weeks, oh, we need to sign a striker. I need to sign like a 20 goal a season striker. They're just not around. Like, there just isn't one. So, like, it's the one area I don't think I would sign somebody for. I think between Boydie, Matty Smith, John Martin, Dean Williams, kind of have everything covered there.
Yeah. Like, it's not like we're not going to be lacking, I think, with those options.
No. And
go on.
I was just going to say, I can't actually see a problem area in the squad. As you say, cover for Gano, I think. Yeah, definitely. Of course, Griff has to come back in, but again, he's left-sided, so cover at right-back, I think, would be one. And maybe just an extra body in midfield. I know, obviously, somebody who's creative would be perfect, but just think when we lost Brian McManus, we just lost that extra bit of cover there. Like, yeah. When Kyle Lunny and Caffrey all started on Friday, like, you're looking at the bench going, oof, maybe we're just a little bit stuck for a real midfielder. And I mean real midfielder along the lines of a Brian McManus. Like, John O'Sullivan could do a job in there, Wardy could do a job in there, Jad, but they're not real, real centre midfielders. So that's more what I'm getting at there. But yeah, we're kind of in agreement. Maybe a creative midfielder and a right full. That's fair?
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Lucas Ordon was on as well. Where do we think the priority is in the summer window? Do we need another right back, another striker? We've kind of covered that one. Ryan Marin, who do the lads want in the cup draw? Darren Cleary, cover your ears because you don't like the cup. Ben, who would you like?
Kerry. Away.
Yeah. I see why.
Yeah.
But that's a grim trip. That is grim. It is. And like, don't forget as well, like, we're not going on the sauce for these trips.
Yeah, I think that's something that maybe people might overlook a little bit. Because, like, we still, like, our work doesn't really end at full time. Look, you have your interviews and they need to go up online. And yeah, it's, they're enjoyable trips nonetheless, but I think more enjoyable with a night out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm more in the give us like a Cove or a Kerry or somebody like that at home. Or on the flip side of that, like a Leinster Senior League or a Munster Senior League team at home would be perfect. Although Munster's not a crumbling type incident along the way. But no, I definitely think for the first couple of rounds, get the easiest draws you can and then leave those bigger games for later on, because I think we're well suited for big, big games. Just,
you don't fancy the travel now. You're not a Bonagy away kind of man anymore.
To a degree, yeah, but no, just make it handy. Get us, I was driving through town today and drove past Lansdowne. Every time I drive past, oh yeah, I think of that Luke Kelly song, Homeboys Home, and the promo video for that game. And every time I go, oh, jeez, I really hope we get to the cup final again, because it was amazing.
That was.
That would be, I'm up for the cup this year, 100%. But just in terms of the draw and who we want, just not a Premier Division team would be my main request. And for the love of God, not Cork away. I'd rather go to Finn Harps than Cork.
Oh, that's a bald one. That is
I
a bald
would.
One.
I hate Cork. Jesus. I'm sorry. I know, like, there's people involved around that are from Cork, but Jesus Christ, no. Oh, I hate it down there. I hate everything about it. I really do.
Well, that's how you really feel.
Fuck's sake. Look, honesty is the best policy. Right. What else do we have? Ah, yes. We got a couple of start bench releases in. From Mark Calway, I think is the name. So anyone that doesn't know how this works, you're given three names, you start one, you stick one on the bench, and you release the other one. So there's three of them here. We'll start with the keeper one, Ben. Clarkey, Steve Williams, and Dean Delaney.
That's probably our three best Reds keepers, arguably. I think Conor Crans will be in that conversation at some point, but
yeah, I thankfully there's no current players in it. I don't think I would have done it because I don't want the smoke, to be honest.
I think Willow gets the start, bench Clarkey, and I think I'd have to release Dino.
They're releasing Dino, Ben.
Yeah,
I think that. I think you'd piss a few people off with that.
I think I will, but look, tell me why I'm wrong. I'm absolutely open to criticism. But I just think, in terms of, like, ability, I think the other two have a bit more. I think Dino gets a good rap because he was there for some bad times. And not saying he's not a great keeper, incredible keeper, but I think the other two just edge him a little bit.
You know what? Now that you're saying it, yeah. It has to be Dino getting released for me, because I put Clarkey in my best First Division 11. Yeah. So I couldn't, in good faith now, say, oh no, like, look, the easy way out of it is you start Willow, you bench Dino, and you release Clarkey, and you go down the road of, oh, because, you know, he was only there for a couple of years, but I think I have to agree. Start Willow, bench Clarkey, and Jesus, yeah, release Dino. Probably has to be. Now, onto the midfielders, Ben. No, we'll leave that one to last because I think that's the most difficult one. So for attackers, Philly Hughes, Kieran Kilduff, and Mikey O'Connor. Start, bench, release.
I think you pretty much got it in order. I think you start Philly Hughes, you bench Kilduff, and you release Mikey O'Connor.
You have to. Mikey's a headbanger. You couldn't have him in a dressing room. Jesus, no. Unfortunately, Mikey, you'd have to go because you just, you're mad. But I think the Philly Hughes, Kieran Kilduff, I don't know if it's, you seem to rattle that off fairly handily there. Kieran Kilduff was so good for us. So good. And even his career outside of us, he was amazing. Yeah. Like if it's a prime Kieran Kilduff and a prime Philly Hughes, I would lean on Kilduff to start and I'd bench Philly Hughes. But most of Kieran Kilduff's biggest moments in his career came off the bench, if I'm not mistaken. Like goals and European runs and stuff like that for Dundalk. So,
yeah
again, I'd have to agree. Start, in their primes, start Kilduff, bench Philly Hughes, release Mikey O'Connor. Then, this one... This was a tough one. So Davey McAllister, Kevin Dawson, and Casso. Dave Cassidy, obviously. Now, I would say Kev Dawson enjoyed their win over Rovers over the weekend, I believe. Sent a nice text to one of our listeners. So nice to know that Dawson is still keeping up with the Reds, but Do you want me to go first in this one, Ben? Davey Mack, Kev Dawson, and Casso.
Yeah, go on. I need a second to think.
Right. Everyone knows where I stand with Davey Mack. He is one of the most underrated players we had. I would definitely start Davey Mack. I'm releasing Casso. And I'm benching Kevin Dawson. Very, very close between Dawson and Casso, to be fair. But I would just lean on Dawson. Again, I don't know why, but I just loved Kevin Dawson playing for the Reds. But Casso probably has a bit of longevity. He was there a while and, again, done some amazing things, scored some great goals. But I'm starting Davey Mack. I'm benching Dawson and I am releasing Casso. Just on Davey Mack, obviously, his band, the Max, are playing on Friday in Tolka before the game from 6:30 to 7:30, and then they'll be back in after the game. I presume Davey Mack will be out doing the warm-up, and he's not going to be in playing leading the fields of Athenry or something while the team's out warming up, but get yourself to the bar on Friday. Ben, enough pondering time. Davey Mack, Kev Dawson, Casso. Start, bench, release.
I think I agree with you on Davey Mack. I think you have to start him. Just for his pure goal-scoring ability, did he not get... Was it 09 that he got like 15 or 16 goals in the league?
Yes. Yes, it was.
He had a mad goal-scoring season. Like, he was... He loved the goal, so I think, yeah, it's where you have to go. I agree with you a little bit with Kev Dawson. Like, I can see where you're coming from. But I think just for what he did for the Reds, I'd have to bench Casso. I don't think. Yeah, it's a very tough one, but I think I'd be benching Casso and releasing Kev Dawson.
I have a feeling I'm going to get shouted at for releasing Casso. To be totally honest, but I don't know. There's just some players that I just love, yeah. And I can't like. Really describe it why I have such a fondness for them. Davey Mack is one, Kev Dawson is another one. But yeah, look, they're close ones. Do send us in a few more of them because they're good. They're they get you thinking, and I like them. I like to make us sweat a little bit on here, Ben.
Oh, grand. At least one of us likes it.
Well, every week I say, oh, right, Ben, we'll about 40 minutes, you know, around 40 minutes is the optimum. You know, that's the perfect number for all the statos out there will say, yeah, in around 40 minutes. We've gone past that again, and we probably will on every single episode towards the end of the season. But what I meant to say to you at the start, I meant to say bongu to you, because that's how you say hello in Maltese. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I'm on a mission to teach myself how to say hello in every language that we could possibly be drawn against in Europe. So,
Oh, dude, you'll over rabbit hole to fall down. Oh,
it's incredible. The problem with it is a lot of them are like just hello or hello or whatever it is. But yeah, bongu. Bongu, Ben.
Bongu.
Hang on, give me a second here. Ben, fill the space. I want to know how to say goodbye in Maltese.
Oh, dude, I don't know why you're doing this, but fair play to you for doing it. You do love a rabbit hole, so I hope you have a little... Now, you did have a little diary for Europe, so I hope you're putting all these translations in your little European diary.
Oh, 100% I will be. You better believe it. Saha, say goodbye in Maltese. So, Ben Cleary and listeners, Saha, and see you on Friday.
Hallelujah, Saha, to you.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.